Let us pray. Father, thank you for the things you've done for us, for the love and the mercy you've shown us, Father God. We thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning to be able to worship you, Father God. Allow us, Lord, to always be overwhelmed by your presence, Father God. Allow us, Lord, to do everything for your glory, Lord, and that everything we do be about you, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because you continue to love us, despite the fact, Lord, that at times we reject you and we run from you. You continue to give grace to us, despite the fact that at times we rebel against you. Father, we thank you for your Son who died on the cross, and for your Spirit who moves us to truth and reveals your word to us. Be with us as we open up your word, Father God, and let it be you who speaks. And let it be you who moves this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How are we doing today? Blessed. We're doing great. You know, it's a wonderful day outside. Beautiful weather. And it is a wonderful day to come together and worship God. Right? There are things that God does that, man, we can't even begin to explain. Like we don't always understand what He's doing. We don't understand where He's taken us. But we simply have to trust Him. We simply have to follow His lead. And as we continue our journey through James, and really we're right at the beginning of it, right? We haven't gotten very far, and we said we're gonna walk through it, and we're gonna take our time and see what God has to say to us through what James has written, and how we can live for the glory of God through what we have been told. Again, he's writing to believers who have been persecuted, who are being thrown in jail, whose property is being taken away. You know, they're living during a very difficult time, and maybe these are things that we're not going to face, where people come in and take what we own from us because we're believers, where people maybe throw us in jail because we proclaim the name of Christ, or these different things. But we may be rejected because of where we stand and the truth that we proclaim. You know, we may be cast out by maybe friends that we used to have, family members, you know, that they would, you know, hang out with us or whatever it might have been. And all of a sudden we proclaim the truth of Christ, and maybe they don't want much to do with us. But I tell you that that the things that God has for us are much better than this world has. Right? The glories that God is going to reveal to us and the things that He wants to give us are much greater than anything this world can offer us. Listen, and no doubt in this world we're going to have difficulties. We're going to have struggles, you know, in life. I mean, if we don't ever have a problem in life, man, I don't know how you do it. Because I think life, and we went through some of those verses last week, right? That it seems like man was born to get into problems or to have problems in life. We're not exempt as believers, right? We said Jesus proclaimed it, right? He said, look, in this world you're going to have tribulation. But He says, take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. And it's through Him that we can overcome the world. As we seek to follow Him, and we've seen that as we mature in the things that He has for us, sometimes things are going to be difficult as we face them. Sometimes it seems like we want to do things on our own. We want to move things up by ourselves. But it can't be our own strength or our own power. And we can't think that we can do it, right? Listen, we have to lean on God during the difficulties of life. We have to lean on His wisdom, that He may take us where He desires. Right? It's not how much I know. It's not how much things I can do. You know, where I've been or the things that I've done. It's what God wants to do on our behalf. And if we will, let's open up the Word of God. And we'll jump into James a little bit, but let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And if we could stand in reverence to the Word of God. And I tell you, the verses we're going to be looking at today in James is going to be on wisdom. And we're going to see that we can't get wise in ourselves, right? And in reality, there's only one place and one person who knows where wisdom is. And only one that can give us wisdom. But this is what Solomon says in chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about Him in all your ways, and He will guide you on the right paths. Don't consider yourself to be wise." Again, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about Him in all your ways, and He will guide you on the right paths. Don't consider yourself to be wise. You may be seated. He says, don't consider yourself to be wise. And this is coming from the man that was the wisest man to live. Solomon, as he's about to take the kingdom, his father David has passed, he's about to be named king. He's a young man, and God says, I will grant you whatever you want. Imagine that. God coming to you and saying, look, I'll give you whatever you want. You can ask for anything. And this is what Solomon says. He says, I'm young, and I need a wisdom, discernment to be able to lead these people. Solomon asked for wisdom from God. And it says that God was pleased by Solomon's request. And not only does He give him wisdom and discernment, He gives him many, many more things. What would we have asked of God if we were in that same spot? Would we have asked for wisdom to be able to handle life's daily, you know, circumstances? What would we have asked for? Someone's saying, well, maybe I would have asked for a bunch of money, right? A new car for the Texans to win something, right? Wisdom. What is wisdom anyway? What is, when you think about wisdom, when somebody asks you, what is wisdom? All right, dictionary.com, it defines it this way. It says, the quality or state of being wise. Knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action, discernment, or insight. And the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary says, knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life. The natural ability to understand things that most people cannot understand. Knowledge of what is proper or reasonable, a good sense or judgment. Good sense or judgment. Right? This is how wisdom is defined in a dictionary, right? And again, the synonym for For wisdom is sense, right? And I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, that boy ain't got no sense. Right? Maybe you've used it, I've heard it, I think I've used it a couple of times. And you think about that, right? They're saying, man, that guy has no wisdom. Right? So next time you hear somebody say that, right? That boy ain't got no sense. I mean, the sentence is wrong to begin with, right? I mean, it's just grammatically all incorrect. But what they're saying is, look, he has no wisdom. He don't know what he's talking about. Right? Where does wisdom come from? You know what? Where can we find it? Right? Dr. Dwayne Brooks, who's the senior pastor at Tylerwood Baptist Church, he, and in one of the devotionals he's doing, he did on James, he comes to these passages and he says he typed in on the internet searching for wisdom, and these are the things that he got back. He says, these are, and this is Google giving you wisdom. It says, never test the depth of water with both feet, right? You don't know how deep it is, don't use both feet to check it out, right? If you tell the truth, you don't have anything to, you don't have to remember anything, right? So if you're always telling the truth, there's nothing that you have, you know, you don't have to worry about, what did I say last time, right? Never mess up an apology with an excuse. Do we do that? I'm sorry, but it says wisdom comes from good judgment, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. It says a closed mouth gathers no foot, right? Anybody get that problem? Foot and mouth disease, right? It says duct tape is like the Force. It has a light side and a dark side, and it holds the universe together. Duct tape fixes everything, right? It says, generally speaking, you aren't learning when your mouth is moving. It says, before you criticize someone, you should walk a mile in his shoes. That way, when you do criticize him, you're a mile away and you have his shoes. Right? He won't catch you then, maybe. But concerning wisdom, this is what Job says in chapter 28, verses 12 through 22. He says, but where can wisdom be found, and where is understanding located? No man can know its value, since it cannot be found in the land of the living. The ocean depths say, it is not in me, while the sea declares, I don't have it. Gold cannot be exchanged for it, and silver cannot be weighed out for its price. Wisdom cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in the precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass do not compare with it, and articles of fine gold cannot be exchanged for it. Coral and quartz are not worth mentioning. The price of wisdom is beyond pearls. Topaz from Cush cannot compare with it, and it cannot be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from, and where is understanding located? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and death say, we have heard news of it with our ears. Where can one find wisdom? Where does it come from? Job is asking. But we seem to, a lot of times when we don't know how to do something, we don't know what to say, we search for wisdom in so many different places, right? This is what he says here in verse 23 of that same chapter, Job. He says, but God understands the way to wisdom, and he knows its location. God understands the way to wisdom, and he knows its location. Listen, if God knows where it's at, why not ask him for it? Right? As he leads up to this, Job is saying, there's nothing that we can trade for wisdom. Nobody can find it. There's nothing on this earth. It's not in the depths of the sea. You know, it's not in the waters. Death doesn't know where it's at. No one knows where wisdom is. And not all the precious stones in the world could buy you wisdom. But God, he knows where it's located. God knows how to get to it. And if he knows how to get to it, if he knows and understands where wisdom is at, why not go to him and ask him for wisdom in the problems that we face in life? Why not search him out and allow him to give us direction, to give us understanding, to give us discernment on what we should do and what we shouldn't do? If God knows its location, shouldn't we go to him? Shouldn't we go to him? Listen, if I don't know how to do something, if you don't know how to do something, whether at work or at home or whatever, who do you ask? Someone who knows, right? Someone who knows. Some of the guys said, I don't ask anyone, I just do it myself. Amen. Google, right? Google knows it all. But we go to somebody who knows how to do something or knows an answer, right? If we're seeking for wisdom, why not go to the one who knows it? Why not go to the one who knows where it's located? And that's God. Right? I mean, we live in a world that's fallen. There's going to be circumstances that we're going to face. I mean, there's going to be difficulties that are going to come our way. We learned that last week, right? And sometimes we're not going to know what to do. We don't know which direction to take. Man, we don't know how to get through this problem. Why not go to God and ask him for direction? Right? This is what James says. Going back to James now, chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. It says, now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. You see, James is coming. He's saying, look, in order for you to mature as a child of God, in order for you to get through these crises that you face in the world, go to God for the wisdom that you need. If you don't know how to handle something, ask God for that wisdom to be able to handle it, to be able to get through it. He says, go to him, and he says, look, God is generous. He's kind. He's compassionate. And he'll give us the wisdom that we need. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, they should ask God for it. Then he says, without criticizing, God will just give it to us. As children of God, we should not be afraid to go to God and ask him for direction. As children of God, we should not be afraid to go to God and ask him for understanding. He's not going to bring up the things we did in the past. He's not going to say, well, look, Romaldo, you remember when you did that back there? I can't give you that. He's not going to say those things. He's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you, right? He says, who gives to all generously and without criticizing. If that's the way God is, why not go to him? Why not go to him in that problem we face? Why not go to him in the decisions that we need to make? Why not go to him and ask him for direction? He says, but let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Ask in faith without doubting. Don't doubt that God can do it. I mean, this is the creator of the universe. The one who made everything that's around us, that made the unexistent things to exist. If anyone can do it, man, it's God. If anyone can do it, it's God. Ask him in faith. Faith for James. This is faith for James is a single-minded commitment to God that trusts in God because God is God. Being committed to God because of who he is. Because he's God, he's the creator of the universe, he's made everything around us, and nothing is foreign to him. He knows how everything ticks. And if he knows everything, why not seek him out? Why not go to him? Right? This faith is a confident trust in God or a resting in God despite the outward circumstances. Trust God regardless of the outcome. When we have faith in him, we trust him regardless of the outcome. And we spoke of that a little bit today on Sunday school because we were on Hebrews chapter 11 and we said we trust God. That's what our faith does. You say, what do you mean regardless of the outcome? What do you mean? And this is what Job writes in chapter 13, verse 15 of his book. Job 13, 15, it says, even if he kills me, I will hope in him. I will still defend my ways before him. And this is Job. He's going to God. He's been having these problems and he's going to go to God and ask why. He says, look, even if he kills me, I'm still going to have hope in God. Regardless of the outcome of what happens with my conversation with God, I'm still going to trust him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3, verse 18, it says, answering the king, they say, but even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. They were in danger of being thrown into the furnace of fire if they didn't bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, king, even if God doesn't rescue us from that fire, we're not going to bow down to your statue. Right. They said, king, our God can rescue us from your fire. But even if he doesn't, we're still going to serve him. Are we willing to trust God regardless of the outcome? Regardless of what happens. And that is the faith that we got to have when we come before him. Without doubting that God can do it. Because man, if he created everything around us, if he made us from dust and blew life into us, what can he not handle? He's God. He's God. Our past, leave it behind us. Right? And just move forward in him. Right? The group has sung that song, right? Not looking back. Right? Just moving ahead. Just trust God. Don't doubt that he can do it. Don't say, well, I would ask God, but man, look at the things I've done. Who cares about the things you've done? If you're in Christ, you've been forgiven of the things you've done, and you can go to him with confidence. And he will give you wisdom. He will give you wisdom. But he says the person who doubts should not expect to receive anything. Notice he doesn't say the person who doubts doesn't receive anything. Because God is gracious. I mean, he's loving and he cares about us. But if we doubt God, we shouldn't expect to receive anything. It doesn't mean that we won't, but it shouldn't be an expectation for us. But God is gracious. And he loves us beyond measure. And we got to serve him and we got to go to him and request of him wisdom to be able to face the world in front of us. Regardless of the problem that we're facing, regardless of the decision we have to make, we go to him. And he'll give us generously and without criticizing. It says, an indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. Someone said, a double-minded man. A person who's double-minded, who wants to live on both sides. He wants to live for God and live for the world. And Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. You can only serve one or the other. So we got to come to him. Put our faith in him. And seek him out. And allow him to guide us. Allow his wisdom to guide us. John MacArthur says, when you make a request of God, it must be a request backed by genuine trust in God's character, purpose, and promises. What problem are you facing today? What situation have you encountered that you don't know what to do with anymore? Take it to God and allow him to give you wisdom and discernment, to give you direction of where he will have you go. And he's more than willing and certainly able to help us out. If you could stand up. If we could bow our heads and close our eyes. What are you facing today? What unresolved problem has come back into your life? Why don't you bring it before God? Why don't you ask him for wisdom and direction on how to get through it? What decision do you have to make and you don't know which way to go? Why don't you come and ask God to give you direction? I don't know what you're facing in life. I don't know what maybe hardships you've been going through. I don't know what difficulties you've come across. But why don't you come and ask him for direction? Ask him for wisdom. Listen, if you've never made a commitment, if you've never given your life to Christ, if the Spirit of God has been speaking to you to commit yourself to him, and you want to do that, simply raise your hand and we'll pray with you. If you've never been baptized, and maybe you're thinking, maybe you want to know more about baptism, simply raise your hand and we'll take time and we'll speak about it. If you'd like me to pray for you, for whatever it might be, just simply raise your hand, I'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? Listen as we pray. The altar's open. You're more than welcome to come and lay whatever burdens you've been carrying around at His feet. Just lay them at His feet. Don't let anyone stop you from doing so. Let us pray. Father, we come before you and we give you glory, honor, and praise, Father God. Because you are wonderful and you are the most awesome creator, and you are the one that we can come to when we need wisdom, when we need understanding, because you know where it's at and you give it, Father. Father, I thank you for this morning, for allowing us to be able to come together to worship you, for allowing us to be able to together open up your word, Father God, and receive the things that you have for us. Father, we don't always understand the things that are happening. But Lord, allow us to be able to humble ourselves in your presence and come before you and request wisdom that we may be able to get through them, Father God. Lord, be with those who are at your altar, Father God, who are coming before you, Father. You know their burdens. You know the request. You know the situations that they're facing, Father. I lift them up to you and I ask that you bless them in a very special way. Let your glory, Lord, be revealed. Let your love be shown in their lives. Father, be with those who are in their pews and in their seats, Father God. Those who raise their hands, Father God. And the struggle that they face, Lord, we bless them. Keep them in your hands, Father. Lord, we ask for those, Lord, who are here this morning, who have burdens on them, Father God, they've been carrying for a long time. Father, I ask that you give them comfort. You allow them to know that they can come to you and turn their burdens over to you, Father God, that you can give them rest in the middle of the struggle they may be facing. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you give us to help us become mature, to help us become more perfect for your glory and for your kingdom, to be able to confront the activities of life and overcome the difficulties we face. Father, we thank you for this morning, for allowing us to come together to worship you. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. Father, we thank you for your Son who died on the cross on our behalf, who shed blood that we should have shed. Father, we thank you for your Spirit who leads us to truth and convicts us when we're wrong. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we leave your house this morning, but allow us to always and forever be in your presence. In Jesus' precious name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being with us this morning. You know, we're going to be moving over next door. I'm not sure. They may be done. They may not be. Sometimes they finish a little earlier. Sometimes they finish a little later. But if they're not done, we'll sneak in quietly. And if they are, well, we don't have to be so quietly. Well, so if we will, I don't think we'll need a song to be dismissed. They may be looking for us already. So if we will, let's move over next door. And we'll be presenting Caitlin to the Lord this morning.